Good morning. Welcome to Back to the Book broadcast. Evangelist Gene Voss with you this morning and bringing to you the Word of God from God's precious book. That's the need of our hour today is the Word of God. And I count it a real joy to come to where you're listening from today, automobile, home, wherever you may be at. We are appreciative that you're taking time out to tune us in this morning for a little while as we look to, again into the Word of God. And ask God to bless it and open our hearts to receive what God's got for us in these last days. And certainly we're in the last days. We're seeing the things take place that we used to preach about a long time ago. But it's upon us now, and we're here at this time in God's calendar. And we're here for such a time as this. Some folks think that's born the wrong time, but God put you here for such a time as this. You needed where you're at as God's children. We're needed in the position and wherever we may be, as God put us in His work and His kingdom, we're needed, and God intended to use us for His glory, and He don't make any mistakes. He's a God that's able to help us through these things and face these things as we're facing today. We're facing things in America that I never dreamed we'd ever face. But we're in them, and we're seeing them take place, and sin's abounding and all around us, but grace is much more abounding. I'm seeing more grace and more than sin. Always above. It's always above sin. Grace. Always more grace. Sufficient grace. Wonderful grace. Dying grace. Living grace. Serving grace. God's grace is sufficient for every one of His children. He's aware of where you're at this morning. And He's right there with you. He's beside you. He's within you. And if you're saved, you know what I'm talking about. He's within you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We've got a future. We've got something to look forward to in these last days. And, of course, we're going to be preaching about some of that this morning, teaching some of that, whatever we may do today. But I tell you, we're living in those days today, and when the Lord has put us here for such a time as this. So we're glad you're listening this morning. Invite you to church today, Sunday school hour at 10 o'clock. Worship 10:45, 10:50 here at the Mountain View Baptist Church, and then back at the till Sunday night at 5 o'clock, and then Wednesday night is still live streaming the rest of this month, the Lord willing, ever how the pastor decides we need to go. So we're glad we can meet together in God's house and worship for a little while. God's been good and some great services, and God's a wonderful God, and I appreciate Him this morning. Pray for our nation. Our nation needs the Lord. We're at a very critical crossroads of our nation. Very, very critical. I say that again, and very, very critical crossroads in America. And I trust that you will pray and seek the face of God. If my people, and if that's a word, if it's always in there, are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I'll hear from heaven, we'll forgive their sin, and we'll heal their land. And you know as well as I do that sin's got to be confessed before it can be forgiven. Amen. And I tell you, he said if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And all unrighteousness is sin. And whatsoever not of faith is sin. We've got a lot of cleaning up to do around our houses, around our lives, to get God's blessings back upon them. I'm telling you, we're living in those days. But it's good to be saved in these last days. I'm glad God's got us in his hand. And he's with us, and he's for us. He's always for us. Amen. He's never against us. He's for us. And whatever he does for us in this life, he does it for his good, for our good, and for his glory. And I'm appreciative of my Lord for taking such good care of his children today. So it's good to be here. And you meet with us in church today. Brother Kevin Norton's a pastor here at the church, and he'll be a blessing to you as he preaches the Word of God in these last days. All right, we want to pray for your needs this morning. Some of you ain't able to go to the house of God. Some of you hadn't been for a while. You'd go if you could, and you know that, and God knows that. But you hadn't been for a while, and you're hungry. There's a hunger in your heart for the fellowship of the saints of God. And Lord, hasten the day that we could be back once again in the house of God with God's people. Father, we thank you this morning that we can come in your presence and call upon your name and tell you we love you this morning, asking you, God, for help and for a touch as only you can give us, Lord. And we're asking you for cleansing of our sins, our failures, our shortcomings, God. And I just touch and help us today, throughout the day, those that are sick and suffering today. I pray, Lord, that you touch each one of those. And Lord, that you touch them and have your will and way in those hearts and lives this morning. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for grace. Thank you for helping the time of need. I thank you for taking care of us continually, continuously. You've never left us nor forsaken us. We've never been alone since we've been saved. I praise God for that. Now, Lord, have your way this morning. Bless the services throughout the day. Get glory out of every heart. And we'll honor you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to have two or three songs this morning. I'll be from a Jubilee meeting down in South Carolina. Hope it will be a blessing to you as these folks sing. They love the Lord. They've got a talent for God, and we appreciate them an opportunity to use them on the broadcast today. Hope it'll be a real blessing. You listen to the words now as they sing.
One of the things I like what he said about the men was they gather with them and they pray. And I believe that if anything is going to turn our nation back is this, us as Christians praying. And that's a little bit of what this song talks about. You say I'm not able, I'm too young, or I'm too old. I can't sing or preach, no title do I hold. Lord, what can I do? I want to do my part. I want to help the hurting with all of my heart. I can pray until the walls come down, till there's healing all around. That's something I can do. I can pray in my secret place, calling on your name. That's something I can do. I can pray. Family shows no interest. My son has gone too far. I try my best to reach them. Their hearts are just so hard. Lord, what can I do to help bring them back to you? Lord, my family's lost and dying. My words just don't get through. But I can pray until those walls come down, till there's healing all around. That's preacher. You may not be a teacher. You may not even be able to sing, but I'm glad there's something we all can do. We can pray until those walls come down, till there's healing all around. That's something I can do.
Tell you, that's a true song. We can pray. Nobody can do everything. Some folks can do one thing, but we can pray. Amen. The ability might not be there, the talent might not be given to you that others have, but every child of God can pray. Amen. We've got something we can pray about. We've got somebody we can pray to. We've got the means where we can approach God boldly through the throne of grace, obtaining that mercy and finding grace to help in the time of need. And certainly we ought to exercise that today. And I thank God for that song this morning. Hope that was a blessing to your heart today, to try to get you to praying and try to get us to praying. Amen. We need to pray more. We need to search the face of God and go come boldly to the throne of grace. All right, we're going to have another song now. Hope it'll be a blessing to you as they sing.
Hello? No one knew how alone I was feeling, and the emptiness I tried so hard to hide. Though I laughed and said my life was fine without you, I was covering up the secret tears I cried. Then one day, someone told me of your mercy and the love you showed on a hill called Calvary. There you died and purchased my redemption. When you broke sin's power and set my spirit free, I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care. Through your precious blood, I found pardon, and my sins are washed. They're all washed away. All my sins are washed away. Yes, it's true, there have been days when I failed you, Lord, and you know the many times I've gone astray. But I've learned your love is stronger in my weakness, and your ear is open every time I pray. No one else has ever cared for me like Jesus. Other friends can never be as close to me. I'm not afraid to face the problems of tomorrow, knowing you are everything I'll ever need. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care. Through your precious blood, I found pardon, and my sins are they're all washed away. All my sins are washed away. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care. Through your precious blood I found pardon. They're all washed away. All my sins are washed away. And my sins are washed. They're all washed away. All my sins are washed away. I'm
to guide you.
Well, I appreciate those songs today. Hope that was a blessing to your heart this morning. We're going to go back to Daniel chapter 1 today and continue the thought that God gave us. I don't know if they got it online or not. They failed to on a time or two. But maybe this will be continuance of it, and I hope they got it on the radio station. But anyway, Daniel chapter 1 this morning, Daniel chapter 1, we tried to preach on the subject on what's keeping you going. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible said, "And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus." Daniel continued. What's keeping you going today? We looked at that for a few minutes the last time that we tried to preach to you on this chapter. We looked at that. Of course, the reality of a godly past is what kept Daniel going. Had something to do, I'm sure, with his fortitude, his training, and his convictions that Daniel had, and his past, his godly parents, and his godly priest, and those that was in contact with him. And I tell you, God prepared him and gave him something to keep him going for the glory of God. You think about this, just a little lad of a boy. I don't know how old he was, probably a teenager. I don't know. I wasn't there. All I can read on it, I think that he was just a young man, just a teenager. But I tell you, he continued. He didn't swerve from the path. He didn't run from the trouble. He didn't shy away from the trials. He stood true, and he stood strong for the glory of God. And as he stood for the Lord, God stood for him. And you can't read the book of Daniel without knowing that God rewarded him for his stand for him. And we've seen that too much. We know that God does that this morning. But what kept Daniel going was, of course, the reality of a godly past. And then, of course, the reality of God's providence there in verses 9. God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. God's providence brought him in contact with the prince of the eunuchs, and he thought much of Daniel. He impressed him with his life and with his personality, I'm sure. And Daniel, my friend, was in the providence of God. God knew what he was doing. For such a time as this, Daniel was there. And God began to work things for God's glory and for Daniel's good, and brought him into a good fellowship with the one that was over what he was going to be doing there in Babylon, in the land, and those that had control over him, brought him into a favor with him. And I tell you, God's the one that can do that. God can bring us in favor even with our enemies. Well, sometimes he can make even your enemies to be at peace with you. And so Daniel was one that God began to use. And I want to continue that thought today from the book of Daniel chapter 1. I want to continue that thought. And of course, thirdly, I want us to notice the rarity of Daniel's challenge. In verses 11 and through verse 13, the rarity of Daniel's challenge. Then Daniel challenged Belshazzar. And he said to Belshazzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, and Mishael, and Azariah, "Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. Let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of thy children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, as thou seest, deal with thy servants." So there was the challenge that he put forth to this one that was over them, the rarity of it. You didn't find that much. I mean, of all the hundreds, maybe thousands that was taken captive there in the land, how many do you see that done what Daniel did? Only one. And of course, he had with him those three Hebrew children that was also going to be recognized by God and blessed by the Lord because of their faith. And then it comes right back to one thing that I want to impress upon on you today on the challenge that Daniel, his challenge, the unusual, the rarity of his challenge. I mean, how many times do we see people put the challenge upon those that would try to get them away from God? There's one thing that I believe was very necessary in Daniel's life to be able to put this challenge forth, and that was simply this: Daniel's faith in his God. He had faith in his God, and the challenge was there, and he knew that God could do that. He believed that from the depth of his soul. The reality of Daniel's faith was real in his life. It had been that way for a long time. He saw that in others that was in his life, and so Daniel had faith. He believed God. He simply believed God. And he knew that God could take the diet that they was on and make them fairer and fatter in flesh than anybody else that was eating of the king's meat, drinking the king's wine. And would to God we had some folks today in this sinful world today that would abstain from the sinful things in this world today and live for God and see the reality of the blessings of God. But yet we're seeing folks drink their wine, their beer, their booze, and everything in this land today. And I mean, church folks are doing the same thing, and they're there's no challenge there. They're just giving in, yielding over to the things of this world, the things of temptation of life, and the sin that's dragging folks down today. I tell you, still in the Bible, that don't look on the wine when it's moving in the cup, when it's being fermented and going to alcohol. Don't look on it. Don't partake of it. And so the scripture's still in there. It's still real to God's people. It's still there. And so there's the difference in grape juice and wine. Amen. And so there's the reality that you don't look on that wine when it's moving in the cup. You don't look on it. You don't partake of it because it's a mockery. It's a mockery. Wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now, I know that's not too popular among folks today, but it's still in the Bible. God hadn't took it out. He hadn't changed it. He hadn't rearranged it. It's still in the Bible. If you got a King James Bible, things are still in there like God put it in there. And so the reality of it is the challenge that he put forward took faith, believing that God could let them eat vegetables and drink water and look better than all the others that was eating the steak and eating and drinking the wine and eating off the king's table and the things that was being prepared that was sacrificed to idols and look better than they did after the time was over. And so the challenge was there. They had the faith to take that, to put that challenge out there. Had to believe that God was able to do that. And so it wasn't a fantasy to them. It was a reality to them. Faith of the substance of things hoped for. As far as Daniel and this man was concerned, they looked fairer and fatter in flesh already than the others did. They partook of that. They couldn't look ahead. They just had faith. It's substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. They couldn't see that, but they believed that. They had faith to believe God. Would to God we had folks today that could take a stand for God by faith, amen, and believe God. And so we find there's a rarity of the challenge that Daniel put forth. It was simply this. It was a reality of Daniel's faith. They believed God, amen. Have they believed God? Do you believe it's better to serve God than to serve the devil? Do you think it's better to serve the things of this world than to serve God? Yeah, that takes faith to believe that. You're better off serving the Lord. Amen. And so there's the reality and the rarity of a challenge. I wasn't too many folks exercising faith in those days. There was going along with it. Those hundreds and thousands of folks been taken into captivity. It was there to be favored by the Babylonians and I try to make them one of them and try to make them do what they did, drink what they drank, ate what they ate, and do the things that they did. The challenge was there, and Daniel took the challenge, and brother, it paid off for Daniel that he would experience that for the glory of God. Well, I tell you, we're running out of time today. God bless you, is our prayer. On the next week, this same time, take time to serve God. Amen. Amen. What's keeping you going? Is it faith? Is it the grace of God? God help you until next Sunday, is our prayer. Amen.